Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome. We are redacted. Welcome into the show. Often blocked, often hidden. People in the chat saying, did they get polled yesterday after their story about China? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we got blocked. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. We're here right now. We do have controversial topics today that we are going to do so lightly.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to tread lightly while trying hard to talk about things objectively.
Yeah, absolutely. So welcome into the show. If you're new here, we try to cover the stories you're not going to see in the Western media. The Western media often covers up a lot of these stories. And we've got some really, I think, hard stories today, hard pills to swallow as we look at what's happening in Eastern Ukraine with continued bombing there, with a Russian deadline for these Azov battalion, a Nazi-led Azov battalion, to surrender. We're going to tell you what they're doing with women and children in that area. And a whole lot more.
Well, first off, we want to tell you we have a newsletter. It's called Morning Invest. It is a free newsletter. All you have to do is put your email address in and we'll send you these types of stories and more conversation topics and things that will make you smarter and funner to talk to.
But also, I think it's important that you subscribe because as people say here in the chat, like, you guys are hard to find. That's important because we're able to send out an email to you to let you know where we are. Again, last week we were taken off of YouTube for covering the Pfizer story. We were on Rumble. We are live on Rumble. But the only way for you to know that is that we were able to send you an email to let you know that we were censored over on YouTube.
We have not said hello to our producers, David and Philip. Are you guys there? We haven't heard a peep.
I am here. David is not as of now, but he may just jump in.
Okay.
David is still got a pinched nerve and is in a lot of pain. So we will hopefully David will join us here. We love all of the voices. So when we're down a man, it's not good. It's not good at all.
Well, before we get to the conflict in Russia, which is ongoing, we should let you know that Israel raided bombs on Palestine just a few hours ago. And many are concerned that this is a repeat from last year because the events coincided with the Jewish Passover festival, as well as the Muslim Holy Month. This sparked fears of a repeat of last year when Israel and Palestine were fighting violently for an 11-day conflict. Felt like much longer, but it was really only 11 days. This was in response to rockets fired from Palestine into Israel. So we are hoping that that doesn't go another round, but violence is reigning in that area of the world right now, which will result in more deaths as well. So, for those of you who really care a lot about Ukraine, that's wonderful. We should care about all people who live in war-torn areas.
Well, we start tonight with the truth, and the truth is painful, as we do every night, but this truth is particularly hard to swallow, and it might make you a little uncomfortable tonight, as often the truth can. The NATO-led war in Ukraine is entering a dark and disturbing phase right now, the phase of desperation. I think that's where we are right now, and the truth is starting to show itself in a number of different ways. It's getting increasingly hard for the Western media to try to hide this. Try as they might, they are absolutely trying to hide this. In fact, today they're trying to show the softer side of the Nazi-led Azov battalion in eastern Ukraine. We're getting played, like we all realize we're getting played. Video of Ukrainian soldiers with pets shows their softer side. Do you remember this in Afghanistan when soldiers were leaving and they were like rescuing pets and we were showing, like, as we're leaving this war-torn country, like, oh, we're rescuing babies and we're rescuing pets.
Oh, you think this is a page out of the old, like, feel good about
the
conflict.
Caitlin Johnson says, this war propaganda campaign keeps finding new and innovative ways to insult our intelligence. But you are smarter than that. You're watching this show, so hopefully you don't fall for this total bullshit. But today we saw intense fighting In the city of Mariupol, where we've learned that Russian forces are calling for the surrender of Ukrainian troops that have been holed up in a factory there. Now, according to Western media, including USA Today, which we, you know, we mock on this show on a regular basis, but according to the USA Today, Russian forces are giving these Ukrainian forces a chance to surrender. They're saying, you have a time. By this afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, you must surrender. And they're not doing that. In fact, we're learning that these forces are the Nazi-led Azov Battalion. And instead of surrendering, they've decided to use women and children as human shields. These low-life cowards are, in fact, hiding out now in this particular area with women and children as they're holed up
in this area. Say that another way, because that sounds a little shocking the way you just said that. So there is a deadline for these places to be evacuated, and now there are videos surfacing from the Azov Brigade, which is a white supremacy organization that has been embedded inside of the Ukrainian military, and they are releasing their own videos saying, we have no intentions to leave. We're going to stay here in these buildings that have women and children. And so since you've already proven that you will bomb places that are vulnerable with women and children and pregnant ladies, then we will stay here and you'll have to hurt those people too. So let's roll the video of that person saying that.
Я командир полку Азов, підполковник Денис Прокопенко. Звертаюся до світових лідерів. Прямо зараз на заводі «Азовсталь» знаходяться сотні цивільних громадян. Серед них багато дітей різного віку, жінок, літніх людей та сімей захисників Маріуполя, які ховаються від руського міру в підвалах та бомбосховищах. Поряд з українськими військовими, які продовжують боронити місто, вони знайшли єдиний можливий прихисток.
So, eagle-eyed observers are noticing that, of course, he's not panning around and showing the women and children that are in this room, keeping it very tight and facing upwards on him, which is a great way to do that, so you can't actually see what's happening in this room. But others are reporting that this is commander of the Azov Regiment, Lieutenant Colonel Denis Prokopenko, which is currently being bombed by Russian planes, has many civilians hiding from the occupiers in this area. So what's interesting is this idea that, oh, these people just decided to hole up with the Azov Battalion, and they're friends, they're hanging out. But as Patrick Lancaster has been an amazing reporter on the ground in this area, he's been there for 8 years. It's amazing. Because he's there with a hard hat, a military hat. He's on the ground covering the story in eastern Ukraine.
He speaks the local language fluently.
Yeah, he has been for years covering this area, right? And then you have like BBC reporters who show up and they put on a helmet and they stand with like their backs with the camera like right there. They're like, I'm a war correspondent. No. Like Patrick is a war correspondent. Patrick has been covering these atrocities that have been happening in eastern Ukraine for the last 8 years. He says, and according to his reports, he's actually been watching this unfold, seeing women and children being captured by the Azov Battalion and being captured against their will for many, many months and being held against their will in these locations. In fact, he has this report, which he just released, talking to a Russian soldier who is trying to evacuate children from this area. Watch. This is Patrick. This is his reporting.
And some soldiers just showed up on the scene, and it seems like they're going to evacuate some people or something like this. We're going to have to see how that goes. We're still just getting the information, trying to figure out exactly what's happening here. I thought we wrapped up this boat. Not so much. Можно сказать, что будет сейчас?
So he's saying, can you tell me what's going on now? And he says, we're escorting children away from this area. We're going to take them through a safe corridor to evacuate small children, he says. He goes on to say, can you introduce yourself? Who are you? And he says, I'm engaged in rescuing children from the basement and evacuating them to a safe place. He asks this soldier to identify himself. And he says, are you from the Donbass region? Are you from Russia? He says, I'm Russian. I'm a Russian soldier. Are you DPR? And he says, yes, you see, children are not here of their own free will. They were taken hostage in the area of this hospital. Okay, in this territory of this hospital. So these women and children being taken against their will and being used as human shields with this Azov Battalion. Now, this is, of course, what the mainstream media doesn't want you to see. This is, of course, what Western social media doesn't want you to see. And if you report on it, you get blocked. Like Patrick has gotten blocked from his videos.
In fact, most of his videos are allowed to still play on YouTube, but they have this warning that the content has been identified as inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. Now, who would find this offensive, right, is anyone who does not want you to believe that there are any kind of adverse or unsavory characters inside Ukraine, that the war is black and white, Russians bad, Ukrainians good, right? And again, we've been warning for weeks about this oversimplification, which leads to, I've decided today, I'm not going to use the word misinformation because it's a smug word, and it also implies that you should control what people see. Information is information. I feel like we should stop using the word disinformation and allow the reader to decide for themselves. It's a stupid word. It's only out there to control what other people say.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just information. And how about I don't tell you what to think and what is true and what is not? Again, you know.
And why should social media be giving these labels? I mean, why should Twitter be telling us that this is some kind of state-affiliated meter? Why should YouTube be downranking videos? Like, did you see the news today about Meghan Markle? Like, there are people that have...
Yes, that she wore something right out of the runway?
No, no. That there are people who have critical videos of Meghan Markle on YouTube and they're being downranked. Because YouTube doesn't want you talking poorly about Meghan Markle.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I mean,
but the whole British press does that.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, they do not want you to speak ill about certain politics that they agree with or disagree with, and that's how they turn it down. It's unbelievable. So, Azov Battalion using women and children as human shields in the steel factory, and this has been going on for months. And we're going to continue to report on this.
But what does seem to be happening right now is all eyes on the Donbas region. So what will happen in Mariupol, we do not know yet. We'll have to watch. But even the Western and the Eastern media are both warning, we do plan to converge on the Donbas region. This is our intent all along, and that's where the shit's going to go down.
Well, and by the way, we have reports of this. We covered it here on the show a number of weeks ago. The Azov Battalion, the Nazi Azov Battalion, putting artillery batteries on the top of kindergarten buildings, on the top of children-centered areas. So when this general gets up there and he talks about how... their schools, hospitals, and kindergartens have been destroyed. Oh, I wonder why. When you had the very women, the teachers who were Ukrainian women who were teaching in these schools coming out to these guys saying, why are you putting these missiles? Why are you putting these batteries on the top of our school? There's an open field over there. There's an open field over there. Why are you doing this? And they tell them to go away. So you wonder why kindergartens have been hit. Why have kindergartens been hit? Well, if there's a missile battery on the roof of the place, of course it's going to be hit by the, you know, by Russian forces.
Right. And so I think we should clarify that we are not here to say we think that Russia had any place in Ukraine, that this is a justified war by any means. We are here to not oversimplify the conflict and talk about how it's dangerous for everybody and civilians are at harm for a human-made war. And for us to just choose sides in this time, just because we think it's a popular thing to do, it makes it dangerous for other people.
And, you know, the Western media, like, it's amazing to watch, like, shit liberals, like, in America who have their, like, you know, their Ukrainian flag and their Twitter handle and who are totally ignoring or downplaying anything to do with the Azov Battalion and what they've actually done to women and children here and what they've been doing for months, according to the journalists who are on the ground in that region killing civilians. That has absolutely been happening. It's been totally, totally covered over. And this meme hit me today because this is absolutely the case. Liberals in neo-Nazis in the United States, whoa, no way, we don't allow that. Oh, neo-Nazis in Ukraine? Hey, with Geordi LaForge from Star Trek.
I'm not sure that hits at home for me, but okay.
I think it works.
I have to think about that for a while.
Yeah.
Sure.
I absolutely see it. Yeah. So.
Well, meanwhile, you know, every story that I see about just on Monday in... was it in Sweden? There was an uprising against Muslim immigrants, in Sweden. In the United States now, there is information that arrests on the southern border hit an all-time high in March alone, right? Arresting people for seeking asylum when we're coming up with all kinds of ways to welcome Ukrainians. Just yesterday in the UK, they're saying now asylum seekers will be shipped to Rwanda. So we are repositioning all kinds of brown people to the end of the line so that we can put Ukrainians in the front. And how is that right? How can we live with that, right? So I don't use terms like shit liberals. I think it's just like bandwagon hoppers who maybe can't even point to Ukraine on the map who say this is a popular thing. I will think what the government wants me to think while ignoring all other manner of suffering. Now, we just reported on Jerusalem. We've reported on Sweden. We've reported in the newsletter on the southern border, right? We've reported on Ethiopia. All of these things matter, not just thinking what the Western media wants us to think about Ukraine and Ukraine and Russia.
Right. And I think a point that gets missed, and because I see a lot of it in like the comments and stuff like that, people assume that if you point this stuff out, you are pro-Russia. They're like, well, yes. Why do you love Putin so much? And I think what gets missed is this isn't about Ukraine or Russia. It's about the propaganda and how we're not allowed to see any other side. I mean, that is a major issue.
Right.
And so yes. It's more about like we're being spoon-fed this narrative and we don't want to eat it.
Right. Putin's a horrible human being, right? He poisons his own people, right? He has rolled back democracy in that country. Absolutely the case. He wants a return of basically a Soviet Union. And that's what he wants. He worships Stalin. His father was or grandfather was Stalin's food taster. Like he was like his chef and food taster. Like that's how much he loves Stalin. So make no mistake about it. Putin is a thug. But what the West and the NATO powers want you to see is that Ukraine is this angel on a hill. And what they're actually doing is funneling billions of dollars in weapons and troops to fight a proxy war and using Ukraine as basically ground zero to expand NATO and continue this Western imperial march. That's what's going on. But you're not allowed to learn that. They want you to see this instead. They want you to see, oh, Ukrainian soldiers playing with puppies. They're just like you and me. They rescue puppies when they see them. But really, that's not actually what's happening. This is a Western media narrative that's getting pumped into your brain. And there are very few journalists, by the way, who have been on the ground covering this for years and who understand what's going on there. These voices have been silenced. And that brings us to our story today about Gonzalo Lira, who has gone missing. He's an amazing journalist. We mentioned it in passing last night, but he has still not turned up. And there are concerns today that, of course, that he could have been captured by what he called Zelensky's thugs, rounded up and killed. At least that's one of the messages appearing on his Twitch channel this afternoon. Gonzalo Lira, though, is a Chilean reporter. He's been silent for about 4 days now, many fearing the worst. He was unable to flee Ukraine when the war broke out. And he went viral at the time for criticizing. I mean, he criticized Zelensky for releasing hardcore criminals from prison and arming them with assault rifles to fight the Russians. He said he was more afraid of the hordes of criminals that Zelensky armed than the Russian military itself. Lira said Zelensky's trying to get as many civilians killed as possible in order to have atrocity propaganda to drag the U.S. and Europe into a full-fledged war.
Well, he says other things that are controversial, right, that they don't want. For instance, there was a thread of tweets just last week where he accused the Ukrainian government for giving drugs to soldiers, sort of euphoria-type drugs that would make it so that they don't feel despondent about being in a war that's made by decisions that they don't make, right? He also talked about the imminent defeat of Ukraine. He did recently tweet about Elon Musk's bid for Twitter and how this is not about money, but about control. Agree. And he has retweeted Patrick Lancaster's reports as of late, the ones we just showed you, the man who is American, who's been living in Ukraine for 8 years and reporting from the ground in their native tongue, right? He has been retweeting those as well. And he did mention a couple weeks ago, this was not recent, but he said there are certain people that Zelensky doesn't want you to know about. Here is the list of names. And if you don't hear from me in a certain amount of time, then put my name on this list. Now, this was posted at the end of March, and we did hear from him within 12 hours. But he was set to make a major media appearance just 2 days ago, and he'd no-showed for it. The media studio said, we have not heard from him.
Is this video? Okay. Yeah, so this is George Galloway. We should set this up. This is George Galloway. He hosts an amazing show. If you haven't watched it, the mother of all talk shows, he does an amazing job getting the truth out there. He was set to have Gonzalo Lira on his show, and he didn't show up. And Scott Ritter was on as well. So here was the setup as he was waiting for him to appear on the show.
Of Gonzalo Lira, from whom we haven't heard since Friday when he agreed to come on the show. The airwaves are crackling with anxiety, even fear, at the sudden silence of the brave, intrepid war correspondent, a filmmaker, author, businessman trapped in Kharkov in the middle of the hell that is the war between NATO and Russia.
So that was April 17th. Then this was a little bit later as well.
Still no connection to Gonzalo Lira, nor any confirmation that he was live on with Scott Ritter, but we are seeking to contact Scott Ritter to establish that latter point, and still desperately seeking Gonzalo Lira. He made a very clear commitment to appear on the show tonight. It's not in character for him simply to disappear.
And that's what he's done. He's disappeared. This was one of his reports from a short time ago where he talked, this was before the full-fledged war broke out, where he was concerned. He had called out Zelensky arming these thugs with releasing these hardcore convicted criminals from prison, arming them to fight against the Russians. And this is what he said.
2022, as you can see, that's the VIP club of the Premier Palace Hotel. I'm walking down to Krasatik, and I'm going to the supermarket to get some food. They've announced that it's okay to go to supermarkets and pharmacies. The problem that we're having is that because of the weapons that the Zelensky regime handed out willy-nilly in the last few days, a lot of criminals have these military-grade weapons, quite frankly. And so there's been robberies, there's been looting, there's been rapes, there's been all kinds of havoc because of these criminals. And it's known for a fact that these a lot of the shooting that went on last night in Kiev had nothing to do with the Russians. The Russians were 10 kilometers or more away from these shootings, so it was clearly probably gang-related, gangs settling scores and shooting one another.
So, and even more than that, so the shooting that he's referring to, remember, the Russians aren't even here yet, okay? They're 10 kilometers away. And here is his reporting from the window as the fight, as these criminals are like taking to the streets and killing people randomly. This is the Russians are 10 kilometers away. This is in the city. So this reporting likely got him killed. I mean, let's be frank about it. It's absolutely sad right now that Gonzalo Lira, an amazing reporter, was scheduled to be on that show, has no-showed. He's been missing now for over 3 days or longer, depending on what, you know, those who had contact with him last. And so to put kind of a bow on this, Scott Ritter was on with George Galloway a short time later to confirm not being able to speak with him and to confirm some of these reports about the Azov Battalion and the Nazis who have been killing civilians in this region. And here's what Scott Ritter had to say. U.S. Marine Scott Ritter confirming these reports.
Kharkov is definitely a city that is firmly in the grip of the Nazis. And anybody who lives in that city, such as Mr. Lira, who is not of that political persuasion, is at risk.
Well, that's very sobering indeed. Let's all pray on this Easter Sunday that he reappears and that we see and hear from him soon. It's sad that the hopes that we had, that he had in fact spoken with you, today are dashed. We also spoke to him on Friday, and that's the last, I think, that any of us have spoken with him.
Kharkov is definitely a city that is firmly in the grip of the Nazis. And anybody who lives in that city, such as Mr. Lira, who is not of that political persuasion, is at risk.
Yeah.
Maybe he has COVID.
Okay.
That's possible. Yeah. That would be the best case scenario, right?
Yeah, rather than being killed by Nazis. Yeah, I'd take COVID over that.
I'm just sort of
making a joke.
No, I'm not making a joke. I'm hoping for the best. Like, I'm thinking of possible. I didn't mean that as insensitive at all, but sometimes when people fall off the map in this day and age, you know, it's possible that they just are down and out with COVID. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, what other possible explanation would send somebody who has made it their vocation to speak out about the war be quiet. I'm always trying to think around something. Like, is there a way to think
about, like, for somebody that is in the public eye like that. I mean, you think of, like, the Chinese tennis player who, like, disappeared for a week, and it turned out she had in fact been nabbed by the government and was being held against her will.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's like,
you're not helping with this.
I know we're supposed to be the Legion of Logic, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I look at, like, what examples do you have of this, of where somebody in the public eye just disappears, and it's either a scandal, like a politician running off on a weekend with their secretary, I can't remember who that was, but
The dude who went to Argentina,
yeah, governor yep. of South Carolina, yeah,
yep, or it's either scandal or something bad, because,
well, I mean, like, he pointed it out. It was pinned on his Twitter feed. You know, you want to learn the truth about Zelensky regime, Google these names, and these people have, like, disappeared. If you haven't heard from me in 12 hours, put my name on this list.
Have you Googled those names?
No.
I am afraid to.
Yeah, I definitely would.
Do it with a VPN on.
Okay.
Do it with a VPN on. All right, we've got more news to get to. Our hopes are, you know, that this reporter, Gonzalo Lira, makes it back and that we're able to hear from him. But this is what happens when you speak out against these thugs. I mean, this is exactly what happens, sadly. So.
Yeah, this relates to our show sponsor, IP Vanish, which we're going to talk to you about later on today.
So. Okay. Well, why don't you tell us about him now?
Okay, I will. Yes. So later on, when I decide to Google things that are not condoned by big tech or the mainstream media, you can bet that I will have my VPN on. What is VPN? VPN is a virtual private network. It helps to keep people from watching you on the internet. Maybe you think it's just advertisers that know a bit too much about you, or you're concerned about your privacy or your identity, or specifically these things we are not supposed to talk about. IPVanish is a great VPN that helps you safely browse the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers, or ne'er-do-wells, if you know what I'm saying. You can use IPVanish on your computer, tablet or phone, all of your connected devices. And when you do, all of your data is encrypted. That means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, if you want to Google those names we were just talking about, which I will be doing later, and more will be hidden, completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing your speed. You don't even know it's on when you're using it. IPVanish right now is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 90 days for free, or 9 months rather, not 90 days, more than that, 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. You just tap a button and you're protected. You won't even know it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you watch, search for, and buy. Take your privacy back with the brand rated 4.6. out of 5 on Trustpilot. So here's how you get the deal. You go to ipvanish.com/invest. Use promo code INVEST and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/invest.
All right. Well, you might have caught word that, hey, mask wearing, it could soon become a thing of the past. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't wait for this. Mask mandates, as we reported here on the show yesterday, do not work. The data is in. They absolutely do not work. They work for you to wear your own N95 mask. If you have an N95 mask, it works for you to put it on and for you to protect yourself. But having mask mandates in cities where there's outbreaks doesn't do anything. In fact, look at the data that just came out today about Sweden and Germany. This is amazing. New deaths per 1 million. This was Germany, which of course was an 86% mask compliance. Now mirroring on dates with Sweden, which now remember Sweden did shit. They didn't do anything.
They did the bare minimum.
They did the bare minimum. No yes. masks, 2% mask compliance in the orange line there. Look at this, how it's like a mirror image of these two. No masks, didn't matter. Masks, didn't matter. Again, this was the outbreak, and it didn't matter if you were wearing a mask or not. Anyway.
So what it proves is an outbreak is going to break into society, whether you wear a mask or not, right? And so on Monday, a judge in Florida, a federal judge, struck down the CDC's mask mandate, which they were trying to extend on all public transportation until May. So effective immediately now, masks will not be required by the federal government. That doesn't mean that companies can't require them. That doesn't mean that some public transportation still won't require them. Uber has dropped mask mandates, they say, except in some situations.
And Lyft, too. So Lyft and Uber, both now no masking.
So we have this video here of when a pilot makes the announcement mid-air because he gets it from the tower that, hey, your passengers no longer need to wear masks. And so watch how passengers on this flight reacted.
April 18th, the Biden administration announced that the Transportation Security Administration will no longer enforce the federal mandate requiring masks in all U.S. airports and onboard aircraft.
And look at the... Look at the...
Effective immediately, masks are optional for all airport employees, crew members, and customers inside U.S. airports and onboard aircraft.
So
watch
everyone.
Do you see all the, like, earpieces being flung off? Like, well, then screw this.
Yeah, like, I'm taking my mask off, you know, like, absolutely. I mean, this is... And it was amazing, too, to watch the stewardess there. They, like, ripped their masks off. There was other videos of stewardesses, like, crying. Or flight attendants, whatever you want, crying as a result of it. They're like, thank God she rips hers off, and others do as well. But that hasn't stopped the left from freaking out about this. I mean, it's actually been pretty amazing.
Why does the left care so much about making you wear a mask when the data shows that you wearing a mask really is just a personal choice and it makes you feel safer? It doesn't give you that much safety unless you wear it properly, a tightly fitting N95. But then why do they care if you want to take this risk? They don't know your health situation, right? This is something that I find so crazy to tell other people what to do, because the narrative that wearing a mask protects other people has too many holes in it now. It doesn't hold up. It's like the narrative that getting vaccinated protects other people. We know for a fact that's not the case anymore. So why get so upset about this? I don't understand. I found this tweet today from this woman who said, hey, at Delta, this is her on the top. I drafted this response in the middle, which I have not sent because I don't want to get crap for it on Twitter. I only drafted it, so this is how much I'm a coward, right? Okay, here's what she says. Hey, Delta, your flight attendant's greeting us with, would you like a champagne? Let's celebrate no more masks, is not what I paid for. It's not only childish, but it creates an uncomfortable and potentially hostile environment for those of us still masked. COVID is not seasonal. So she's upset. She goes on to say, like, I'm going to give a full review about this. I don't like how it makes me feel for still choosing to wear a mask. And I'm offended that someone offered me champagne to celebrate this, which I think is an extremely egotistical response because, okay, you want to feel safe still wearing a mask.
Right.
I got it, right? But this woman offering you champagne, her life has been hell for 2+ years. People have been like pooping in the aisles and behaving so badly that we couldn't give them liquor and having to be duct taped to seats, right? And so this means that she will be just a little bit safer from passenger abuse. So that offends you. That makes you feel unsafe because you want to still wear a mask, which says to me, you are unable to give this woman empathy and you want her to be punished for offering you champagne, for offering to celebrate this with you. I found that's just such a selfish thing to say.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's these people have been in many ways, like the champagne is to say enough is enough. The CDC is now reporting this. It's on the CDC's very own website that mask mandates do not work. The data is in. We're done with this shit. It's falling. It's like, it's almost sort of like in some ways like Liberation Day. We're like, we're done with this. Like this thing is over.
Sure.
In some ways. Look, yes, COVID is going to be here forever. COVID, by the way, coronavirus has been here before the pandemic has been here. It's been here for hundreds of years.
So what they're saying is we want to feel safer still wearing our masks. And we don't if everyone else is not doing it, right? So we feel targeted if we are the still mask wearers.
Like this is like a microaggression. So now, like, she gave me champagne. Like, how dare she? I'm going to wear a mask on this flight. And as President Biden said today, it's up to the people to decide. Do it for yourself. Go ahead. As we pointed out last night on the show, single-use masking for yourself works. If you want to protect yourself against the flu, if you are immunocompromised, if you have comorbidities, and you are concerned about catching the flu or coronavirus or some other kind of pathogen, fine. Wear an N95 mask, but really you better make sure it's absolutely fitted properly and totally snug. An N95 mask, not one of those stupid, I'm sure they're probably, it's probably stuck to my ass somewhere, one of those stupid blue ones. They're everywhere. Do you have one in there?
Like, usually I have one in my pocket.
Here's one. I literally have one in my pocket. This is like, you know, like a crotch diaper. Like these things, this will not protect you. This is what they sell in this will not protect you. These like surgical masks that everyone wears for show.
No, but you know what I have used those for is when I don't have a hair tie, I can rip these off, tie it in a little knot, and then use it as a scrunchie. So
yeah, brilliant.
That's one little mask hack. Yeah.
And like our kids wearing those like little cloth diapers in school, you know, that, I mean, my son has worn like the same one for about 2 years now.
No, he has a pack. He likes the Adidas ones.
Yeah. Okay. They're not doing anything. They're not doing anything. They're just for show at this point. The N95 masks,
well,
as we showed
you. You're contradicting yourself, honey. You're saying they don't do anything, but single use masking works.
The N95 mask works, as we showed you last night.
Right.
I'm showing you the data from the CDC. That's what I'm those are my fact bases right now. I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
That's what the CDC is telling us. That's what the reports are saying about particulates in the air. That N95 masks, if worn properly, and these are the ones that are really uncomfortable to wear, have to be fitted properly, you can protect up to 95% of particulates. That's why it's called 95.
Yeah. I mean,
so if you want to wear it, good for you, right? But to force other people to do it, but what you're saying is, how dare you not wear one? But what do you care? Like, it's up to that person.
Sure.
It's like caring if that person has a tattoo or not.
Yeah.
Right?
And clearly the argument that we will overwhelm the hospitals if we don't wear masks, that argument is gone too. So
yes. And again, I come back to this data, Germany, Sweden, new data out today, showing the mask compliance versus those. Sweden didn't do shit and Germany did. With masks, and the outbreak and hospitalization and deaths didn't matter.
Yes.
All the same.
I mean, it's just right now we're seeing this confluence this inability to think about what the data is actually telling us, because there are several people who are just still clinging to the early tropes of the pandemic, is get vaccinated for other people. The vaccine stops the spread, right? Don't overwhelm the hospitals, wear a mask to protect all of us. In fact, just a few weeks ago, there was discord at the CDC as several doctors now are walking out because there's no agreement on the fourth booster, right? So the CDC wants to go forward and recommend this fourth booster for people 50 and over. And at the same time, they want to go ahead and give boosters to children. And three doctors walked out on the CDC just because they said, we don't see enough data to support the fact that a fourth booster is effective and necessary. In fact, the crux of the opposition, I'm going to read this from the Wall Street Journal, the crux of the broad opposition to second boosters is the recognition of B and T cells. which public health officials have long ignored. They talk about only the antibody levels, which tend to decline in the months after your vaccination. So we reported here a couple of months ago that wealthy people were like going and getting these antibody tests, blood tests, just to see like, oh, I want my antibodies high so I can go to Vail or whatever, right? It became this sort of way to quantify your life to see if you were safe enough just to keep your antibody levels high. But we now know that after the vaccine, the antibody levels tend to dip, right? But B and T cells, which are activated by the primary vaccine or a natural infection, are highly and durably effective at preventing serious illness from COVID. So we don't actually need to get into this high antibody addiction if the vaccine and a natural infection are otherwise doing their jobs. So these three doctors said, we don't think we should just go ahead with this. And they left. Right? And so what's that about?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. And yeah, what they're saying is, I mean, this is the top two FDA officials quitting the agency, complaining of this undue pressure. Where is this pressure coming from? Where is this pressure coming from? All you need to do is read the pharmaceutical news, see what's happening with Pfizer and Moderna and these other. By the way, if I say this, we'll probably get taken down because, by the way, I was going through the notes on when we got taken down by YouTube. And I got a response from YouTube.
Oh, you didn't tell me this.
From, you know, because we covered the story about Pfizer and the vaccines and reported on that story from their own data. And we got blocked and taken down and given a community strike here on YouTube. And finally, YouTube got back to me and had a fairly detailed response. I don't want to say it because I'm afraid we'll get blocked again by saying it. But it was basically like... You can't basically say what you said about vaccines. Like, but wait a minute, this is from Pfizer's own data. I can't say it? No, you can't say it. You can't say it. And so these guys, on the same day that we reported that story, Pfizer is pushing to get children their round of vaccines.
Well, the CDC is.
Yeah, the CDC.
The CDC is trying to do that.
At the same time, Pfizer's pushing it. They're doing their big PR campaign. You see it all over Bloomberg News. You see it all over different stock market news. Pfizer says it's okay. And in their trials, this is what they're showing for children. And here we go. So get ready, buckle up, because these vaccines are coming for children from Pfizer. And they want emergency use authorization also. So they don't have to get approval. They don't have to go through the approval process. And therefore, they don't have to put television advertisements up on screen telling you, like, when you get, you know, like any of these other drugs.
Yes.
That are on TV, you know, may cause bleeding of the pancreas. Maybe.
Right. And I mean, it's worth noting, right, that taxpayer dollars funded over $1 billion in advertising to major media, MSNBC, Fox, every major, ABC, CBS, every major newspaper. And at the same time, right, the government did pay for those vaccines, even if you didn't. And so the lead story today in our newsletter was that the government wants to take back its money that had been earmarked for small business relief because they said small businesses are out of the woods. They're fine now. We're going to take this back and buy more vaccines. That's interesting, right? Because last I heard, small businesses were not out of the woods. You know, they're left holding the bag. The federal government says, and I mean, who got most of the PPP loans? Most bankers were told not to even process any applications for less than $10 million. What small business has a $10 million payroll in just a month or two? Like none, right?
Right.
And so the pandemic relief did not help small businesses. That's a joke. And so for them to say, well, they're fine now, we will take back this money and buy more vaccines, you don't need to be a genius to follow that money.
Right. I mean, it's absolutely troubling. And of course, we've shown you the videos here, you know, brought to you by Pfizer. Every morning show, every health segment on CNN and all these other companies, you know, brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer. Again, mask mandates seems to be crumbling, guys. The good news is that these ridiculous mask mandates are starting to fall. And if you would like to still wear a mask to protect yourself, that data is in. It does work to protect you. But why should what you want to do have anything to do with what he wants to do over there? If he doesn't want to protect himself from the flu or the common cold, he doesn't have to. By the way, we lived in New York City for many years. long before the pandemic.
Yes.
And I would see people from China, other Asian countries, on a regular basis in the subway wearing N95 masks.
Yes, and they did not get beat up for it.
No.
In our observation.
No, I mean, and you could, you know, make stereotypes. You'd be like, oh, if someone's wearing a mask in New York City, it's probably someone from China. You know, like someone who's used to maybe being in a big city, not wanting to get smog inhalation like in Beijing or whatever, for whatever reason. They
sure.
don't want to get the flu. They don't want to have smog inhalation like they get in Beijing. So they wear N95 masks. The people you would see in New York City was always Asians walking the streets wearing N95 masks on. So they've been doing it. They did it years before the pandemic. And guess what? They want to protect themselves. They're going to do it years afterwards. And
sure,
and you can too.
I think it will be much more than Asian people that are going to continue to wearing masks for however long they feel like it. Philip has said many times that his daughter wears it because she likes it. But does she wear decorative ones?
Yes. I mean, they're not N95.
She wears it as a fashion accessory.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And I carry one around with me. And what I do is when I go into a place, if the staff are wearing them, I wear them.
Yeah.
If the staff is not wearing them, then I don't.
That's just nice of you.
I try to be, you know, empathetic.
Yeah.
See, he's not a D.
No, he's not a dick.
Yeah. And, you know, if the staff are not wearing them and you decide to do that because it smells like fart, you know, should be a safe space.
Smells like fart should absolutely be a reason. In fact, that's been, let's be honest, guys, that's been one of the benefits of going into a public restroom wearing a mask, right? Like, you know, now you know.
It smells less like fart.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or if you have to let one rip in public, you don't feel so guilty, I guess, right?
I suppose.
You know, instead of when you're hanging out in a department store and you go behind one of the spindly racks, you know? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
We need the more you know, like Starshine with the rainbow thing over like, the screen. Right?
We should, yes. Yeah. If you have to pass gas, make sure you wear an N95 mask. It'll protect you and those around you.
Actually,
the more you know.
My mother-in-law, she took these nutrition seminars that she told me about, and she said that we absolutely should destigmatize farting because farting is a symbol of a healthy digestive system. So we shouldn't actually be afraid to fart. We should just let it rip. I'm all for that. Sure.
Why not?
I like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, see?
You like this.
There fart you go. Talk. Fart talk. Okay. Welcome to Fart Talk.
I can't wait to edit this again later.
Yeah.
Add special graphics and sound effects.
Exactly.
It's like Russell Brand, how he opens his videos are like.
Welcome, you 5 million enlightened beings. And fart. Hey, we all do it. All right, we got more news to get to. We're going to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. You might love her, you might hate her, but should a lawsuit decide whether or not you get to vote for her? It's total bullshit. And we're going to tell you about CNN Plus, you know, that just launched with, $200 million ad budget? Well, you're going to wait till you hear the unbelievable story about CNN Plus. And also, we got a Jon Stewart story for you coming up in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Indeed. You need Indeed. If you're hiring right now, you need Indeed. So many people trying to hire the right person. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, but you don't know what to do, you need the right team to make it happen. And that's where Indeed comes in. It makes it easy to hire and build a team with the right skills to make your dreams a reality. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. It's the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours or on multiple job sites finding candidates with all the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Indeed partners with you on every step of the hiring process. Find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed's Instant Match, their assessments, and their virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description. And you can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only pay for quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. I absolutely love Indeed. In fact, my mother-in-law, who we were just talking about, I think they hired three people using Indeed for their business.
She's not. She's your actual mother, honey.
Oh, well, you said mother-in-law. She is my mom, yes. So she's your mother-in-law. My mom, who's the CEO of a company, uses Indeed to hire. And according to ComScore, Indeed is the number one site worldwide. They deliver four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. So join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring right now, and you're going to get a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/invest. So you need to use that right down here on your screen, Indeed.com/invest. You'll get a $75 job credit. That offer is valid through April 30th. Go to Indeed.com/invest to claim your $75 credit before April 30th. Indeed.com/invest. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. And I just want to thank our sponsors here on the show. You know, when you support our sponsors here on this show, they are helping to support independent journalism. The fact that we're able to do this show, that we spend the hours putting this show together, and we have a whole team behind the scenes doing it, it's because of sponsors like Indeed and the sponsors on our show. So when you support them, if you're a small business owner, et cetera, please, you know, support these sponsors because they support what we do here. They're not afraid to stand for the stories and coverage that we bring you on this show. So thank you to our sponsors, and thank you to all of you for supporting them. Okay, we've got more news to get to. So let's talk about this Marjorie Taylor Greene story. Now, she likes to stir the pot. She likes to say things that are inflammatory. You might hate her. You might love her. I'm in some different Twitter groups where people absolutely love her. I'm in some other groups in some other areas where people can't stand her and think that she's evil. It doesn't matter. Voters should decide whether or not they elect a person to represent them in their constituency, right? You think?
You would think, but a federal judge on Monday cleared the way for a group of Georgia voters to move forward with legal efforts seeking to disqualify her from running for re-election, citing her role in the January 6th attack. Now, this is based on a provision that was adopted after the Civil War that prevented anyone who was a member of the Confederacy from holding office. And so there are other sort of similar efforts around Republicans who did support the January 6th uprising. Now, the judge who was appointed by Obama, her name is Amy Tottenberg, she denied a request for a preliminary injunction that Marjorie Taylor Greene had requested, saying that if I have to fight this lawsuit right now, it could run into my reelection campaign, and so this will prevent me from having a fair campaign. Now, she released some financing numbers from her campaign just this week, and it's not looking good. She's been bleeding money. She doesn't have a lot of donations. But there are people who just don't want to take that chance, right? So what are they saying that she did specifically that would put her in this bucket of, say, like Confederates, right? Well, when the January 6th uprising happened, she said that this was our 1776 moment in her public comments that led up to the Capitol riot. And they say that this phrase was a code used to incite violence and point to the third section of the 14th Amendment in their argument to drop her from the bid. So right, saying that this was our 1776 moment, I mean, you have to prove intent, right? And so you would have to say in your lawsuit, she intended for people to breach the Capitol and incite violence and hurt other people and take public property, right? Really hard, I would say, to prove intent from that. Sure, like, was she supporting overturning the election? Yes. Is that a crime? No. Is it unsavory? Sure, right? But does that mean then we should remove her from her right to run for an elected office? I do find this, she's an annoying person, but I find it to be a disturbing precedent of not letting the system work the way it should, right? Let voters decide. Don't say, oh, I don't even trust voters to not vote for her, right? You're saying...
Well, yeah, let's flip it the other way. Let's think about Liz Cheney. right? Liz Cheney, who spoke out openly against Donald Trump and an attack on democracy.
Yeah.
She's been like decommitted, right? Kevin McCarthy has like taken her to the woodshed, basically. Liz Cheney has been vilified by her conservative base, right?
Yes.
She's certainly been vilified in Wyoming, but let it up to the voters. She's going to run again in Wyoming. And let it up to the voters to decide whether or not the people of Wyoming have Liz Cheney as their representative.
No, this group has to take this choice away from voters, saying we do not trust voters to vote her out. So we will litigate instead. And I feel like it's a part of a growing trend of things that liberals don't like to like jump over the process. Right. So you don't like the new education law in Florida. Vote out the politicians who've put it in place, right? Don't go after Disney to repeal it. The politicians that were chosen are the ones that put it in place. So you need new politicians, right? You don't like Marjorie Taylor Greene? Then rally against her, campaign against her, right? She's already bleeding money. But no, this is someone else sort of skipping the line, saying we don't trust the process in the hands of normal voters. So we need to do other things, backhanded things to get our way. I mean, look, if you want a revolution, you just don't want to live in this country. You don't want to abide by this social contract. You have lots of choices. Sure, we could have a revolution. I think that's warranted. Yes, I agree. But to sort of say we want the country as it is, but we want to take these like shortcuts around democracy, I think it's pouty and it's petulant, in my opinion.
Well, and the Free Speech for People, which is a National Election and Campaign Finance Reform Group, filed the challenge on behalf of this group of voters. And good for them. Right. Here's like this is what's happening in the United States
right now. Good for them. They're the plaintiffs.
Sorry. National Election and Campaign Finance Reform Group filed the challenge on March 24th on behalf of the group of voters. So this is amazing to me. This is a Free Speech for the People group.
Wait, why did you just say good for them? They're trying to take the choice away from voters.
No, I'm not saying. I'm sorry. What I meant was sarcastically. Like this is flying in the face of exactly what they're meant to do. Free speech. Shouldn't the voters be able to use free speech to choose whether or not she's in office or not?
Yes, I think so. And I looked at the responses to this on Twitter to see, is anyone standing up for this? Because what happens when they do this for a liberal, right? When they do this to a liberal that is not popular on Twitter, will we speak out against it? You have to speak out against things that you don't like if you really are for freedom, right? You have to speak for people who you don't like to be able to speak, to be able to run for office, to be able to face the power, the choice of the voters, right? Are we only celebrating that because she's annoying? Or does anyone see how this is something that's further diminishing the power of the vote? Like, you can only vote for what we trust you to vote for. And that's utter shit.
I can kind of see. So from a, like, when you look at how much voter repression is going on and you mix that with, like, the gerrymandering that goes on to where they're literally, like, making generational Republican areas. Or in Oregon, they're making, generational Democratic areas. And so, like, through that gerrymandering and all of the laws that are going into this voter suppression, like, we don't really have the choice to vote people out. So then what choice do we have at that point? If they're taking away free will just because the people were voted in and then they maneuver so that they could never be voted out, you know, to me, I don't necessarily think that we should be suing to have people not on the ballot, but, like, we need to be finding some way to undo it.
And I agree.
What do we have?
But then maybe this is proof that the system doesn't work at all, right? Then we shouldn't pretend. Then it's sort of piercing the veil of the fact that the vote should work, because clearly it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all about, like, you know, everybody should get a chance to vote.
Sure.
So you can come to the freespeechforthepeople.org website and click on ban insurrectionists from the ballot. So you just fill out this, you know, you can file this amend, you can file this challenge, and boom, this person, you know, has to then deal with this in court. This is what's happening with free speech. We've been covering this story. I mean, I love that the name of this organization is Free Speech for People.
But not her speech, right?
But if we disagree with her speech, we'll make sure that you don't get to even run for office.
If they want her to not run, then they need to convict her of something, find her guilty of it, and then that's done. But so you've got like a Democratic-led Congress that won't. They've come to these conclusions that some of these people are actually guilty of crimes. I don't know that she was listed as one of them, but they're not going to do anything with it because of their fear of like political backlash. So then like if why not go through the proper channels? Give it to the DOJ if you have reason to believe she shouldn't be there. I mean, this is.
It was the same thing about holding people against their will in Guantanamo Bay. Like if these guys are terrorists, then actually put them through the process, give them due process. If you can prove that they are, then do that. Otherwise, Dick Cheney and his merry band of thugs holding these guys in perpetuity in Guantanamo Bay. So they're in international waters. And so they don't have to go through our constitutional process.
And many are still there.
Yeah.
Still there.
Still. And you know, Barack Obama said he was going to close it down, right? Still hasn't happened.
Rich Allen makes an interesting point in the chat. He says, what happens if they write her in? Because the lawsuit is only to prevent her from running. But what if she's a write-in candidate? It's not really to prevent her from holding office.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's interesting because this will rile up. Again, I think what I'm disturbed about is this jubilance of like, yay, she's annoying, let's not let her run, right? When this could happen to anybody, including somebody you do like. And I think that celebrating this shows immaturity. So I do not. I'm not saying that I'm mature. But in this case, I don't celebrate this.
I'm clearly not mature, but
we just had a whole segment about farts. So.
Exactly. I want voters to be able to cast their vote. That's what you're supposed to be able to do. But that's not what's happening in this country. All right, let's talk about the streaming battles and what's actually happening. So a couple of big stories right now that I want to cover on sort of woke culture and what's happening. First of all, we just got word just a few minutes ago that streaming, Netflix losing huge amounts of subscribers. Netflix shares cratering 24% after new earnings, saying it lost its subscribers for the first time in more than 10 years. So that's one little nugget.
Why? Why are people turning off Netflix? Why do you think that is?
I mean, it seems like, well, they say it's competition, right? So you have competition. They blame it on password sharing, which has been happening forever, by the way. People share their Netflix passwords and so forth. And they say the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine for stagnant subscriber growth.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. Like what? What does that have to?
Because costs are up, and so people are trying to
look. You
just
saturate.
Blame Russia for everything now.
I know. Let's just blame Russia for everything. It's Putin. It's Putin's price hike. That's why people are not subscribing to Netflix.
Are not watching Netflix.
Look, there's only so many people in the world, right? So how many? Like, you can't keep adding at the clip of subscribers that you could for so many years. Like, so many. Everyone has Netflix. At what point do you? And now there's competition. There's Disney Plus, there's Hulu, there's other things, there's Apple TV and so forth. Anyway,
I don't know. Maybe you just get, what do you think, Philip? You get tired of Netflix programming? You don't want to see the same stuff?
How do you get tired of Netflix? You can't reach the end of Netflix.
No, you can't.
You know, it's not like in The NeverEnding Story when you're trying to reach the everything and get to the end of it. There's always something there that's interesting to watch. But there's not something interesting to watch on CNN Plus. And breaking news this afternoon that this shitball of a streaming service that no one thought, I mean, no one on this show thought was going to be successful. Is anyone in our chat actually think that CNN Plus, the streaming service that you pay whatever $5-6 a month for, so you could watch Brian Stelter talk about the media, or Anderson Cooper do a special, or Chris Wallace host a little dingus where he interviews 95-year-old people? No.
But I have enough of those people just watching them on the regular, so I don't feel like I need more of those people.
Yeah, do you need, like, any more people?
But, you know, the news media suffers from navel-gazing syndrome, and you and I both felt like that when we worked for the news. You know, you would sort of, what are you laughing at?
Grim in our chat says, CNN Plus is awesome. You're lying. That's fake news, Grim. You're not
That's
watching CNN Plus.
No, you know what? It's information. Let everyone else decide
Barbara,
how they feel.
Barbara in our chat says CNN Plus would have to pay me to watch it. Yes.
Robert says I'll pay for CNN minus. But I think that what I was going to say is that, you know, we both have been on network news, and you gather this following, and it makes you think that people want more of you. So then you start to like let them in your life in different ways. It's very egomaniacal. And that's just how it works in the newsroom. And all of these producers are like, oh, everyone loves, you know, Matt Lauer.
Right.
So let's give them more of Matt. Let's put Matt in different situations. Let's let them see Matt in this kind of clothes.
Let's find out where in the world Matt
fishing
is.
Fishing for with a bear or whatever. Like, you just get, that's just the inside of like a newsroom. That's how they think. Like, they want it's more.
It's the Jeremy Renner app for CNN. Are you familiar with that?
No,
Jeremy
what's
Renner,
that?
The actor.
Yes, like I know. Years, he's from Milpitas.
Several years Hawkeye. Back, he created his own app, and it was just the Jeremy Renner app, like, so that he could reach out to his fans, and it just ended up being an absolute debacle.
Like a joke?
Yeah.
No, not as a joke.
As a legitimate, it was a legitimate app you could download, and it was the Jeremy Renner app.
No, but I mean, now it's a joke?
It's gone. I'm not sure if it's still around, but it declined into just a big joke. It just ended up
being... That is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I believe that, because there were people that reached out to me. Like, when I was a news anchor at Fox News, people were like, oh, you know, you should really have your own app. I'm like, what the hell? Like,
for what? What more do you want from me?
Like, is there something that you could get with the Clayton Morris app? I mean, that's why I have my OnlyFans account. Just kidding.
Yep, it's just me and him in there. I'm the only subscriber.
Exactly. And I give Philip what he wants.
He takes COVID tests all the time.
Yeah.
He wears...
I do ASMR COVID tests.
He wears underwear fixed from N95 masks.
So CNN Plus is a pile of shit. And Axios has this scoop. CNN Plus looks doomed. Warner Brothers Discovery has suspended all external marketing spend for CNN Plus, has laid off CNN's longtime CFO as it weighs what to do with it moving forward. Now, you'll remember this pile of shit. They spent over $200 million in marketing to kick this thing off the ground. $200 million. So that we could all sit back and watch Brian Stelter yuck it up.
You're cracking me up.
Thanks, Brian. But apparently no one wanted to see him do any sort of deeper takes on CNN Plus. No one wanted to watch this.
After that smug disinformation bit that went viral last week, especially, right?
They had 17,000 subscribers. Think about that. Disney had millions within the first day. Millions of people downloaded Disney Plus in the first 24, 48 hours. 17,000 people downloaded CNN Plus. And that doesn't even mean they signed up for it. You can download the app and not even watch it.
Well, they're saying now that in the first few weeks of launch, they have only 150,000 subscribers total, which is
brutal.
More than we've got, you know, or less than we've got by a long shot. And we're ex-news anchors, right? And
that's our new tag. More subscribers than CNN Plus.
Yes.
There we go.
So here's our channel. Let's go over to here's our redacted channel. We're going to change. If you go to YouTube, this is a morning. This is youtube.com/redacted news is our channel. We have 638,000 subscribers here on our channel. Was that five? I'm terrible at math.
Yeah,
is it like five times the amount
roughly
of CNN? Just a
little over four times.
Okay, a little over four. I don't want to inflate our numbers, Philip. That's a little over four times.
And hey, if you're not subscribed, please do that. Hit that subscribe button. It costs you nothing.
Please subscribe. Isn't that amazing?
It is, in fact, amazing. And it's amazing that this is doing so terribly. And, you know, the future belongs to people who can leverage their platform. But CNN clearly cannot leverage its platform from just, you know, traditional cable news into the digital era.
But you're being too kind. You're being too kind. You're like talking about how they could have like done better, like strategically. But they're a shit show. Who wants to watch these guys spread bullshit on television and then pay $5 or $6 a month for them to do it on a streaming service? You're being too kind.
Okay.
These guys, you want to talk about misinformation or disinformation? That's all these guys do is propaganda. So we want to watch segments where they bring on a former CIA head of whatever to continue to foment war.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Pfizer. I mean, people are seeing through this shit left and right.
Sure. Yeah, they suck, but
you're being too kind.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
You're being too kind, aren't
you? Well, I don't want to impugn not knowing exactly why people don't want it.
You know why they don't want it.
Sure.
You know why they don't
want
this shit.
Because they're smug assholes. That's why.
Well, that's one reason. Now we're getting somewhere.
No, I mean CNN is full of smug assholes.
Yes. Now we're getting somewhere.
That's all I got.
No, come on. I know you can do more.
I told you they're navel gazers and they're conglomerate controlled, not have your best interest, smug assholes.
Now we're getting somewhere.
You're cracking me up.
Thank you, Brian.
All right.
We should also talk about Jon Stewart. So Jon Stewart's show... this one's not surprising at all. But again, I think this comes back to what's happening right now with the woke culture that we're seeing sort of taking over. If you go, we've talked about on this show before, if you go woke, you go broke, right? If you start to spin out like this woke bullshit, your ratings suffer. No one's watching you, just like CNN Plus goes down the toilet and people are basically jumping ship right now 2 weeks after launching because people don't want to watch this crap. People don't want to watch where you get on the air and do a whole segment about how white people are terrible, which is basically what CNN did on their CNN Plus channel, right? So now Jon Stewart has basically done the same thing. Now, Jon Stewart, former host of The Daily Show, I love Jon Stewart. And I thought he was one of those guys who would always sort of call it like it is. Like he was not afraid to go after liberals. He would stand there and yell at conservatives. He would go after liberals. I mean, he went right up to Paul Begala's face on Crossfire and told Paul Begala and Tucker Carlson, Democrat, conservative, you're ruining America with this terrible show on CNN Crossfire a number of years ago. It was largely one of the reasons why Crossfire was canceled. He's a guy that got it, right? He's a guy that goes on Colbert and actually calls out the bullshit about what was happening in Wuhan. He had the balls to go on the air and actually say, this thing started in a lab. We have the evidence that this started in a lab. And watch how Stephen Colbert, who has gone full woke, tries to totally shoot him down. He's like a CBS patsy at this point. And Jon Stewart was like, didn't care. And we were all like, Jon Stewart, he's speaking truth. Watch.
Attitude to science. Science has in many ways helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science.
So there was a chance that this was created in a lab. There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. There's been an outbreak of chocolatey goodness near Hershey, Pennsylvania. What do you think happened? Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a steam shovel mated with a cocoa bean. Or it's the chocolate factory. Maybe that's it.
Yes. So that was Jon Stewart. We all applauded that, right?
But that's not the Jon Stewart we got from his show. His show was just it has been just a bit too...
woke?
That's not the word I want to use. I should have thought about this in advance. No, I don't even necessarily think it's smug. I can't tell if it's just a little too... Come back to me on this. I need to think about
okay.
it.
Okay,
I'm thinking about the same thing because I watched it and it was like... I watched like several episodes and where there were really great moments, there were also moments of just sort of like, huh.
Maybe. Okay, Philip, what do you think of this word? Pedantic?
Yeah, it's, I mean,
it's a little too pedantic, where it's like talking down to you because
that's what I said. Smug. Okay, you said pedantic.
Pedantic is not smug.
We've got combative, pretentious coming from the chat.
Pretentious. So. How about this? Let me play this clip and you tell me what this clip means to you. This is his show. And again, this could be why his show is a ratings flop.
And thus, the problem with white people.
Let's applaud that.
I'm just going to.
But he's trying to be funny. Yeah, that's okay to say.
Okay.
I'm just going to stop for a second and pose so you can get your memes out. Okay, there we go. Get a good picture for your clickbaits. For however sincerely we want to reckon and listen, the truth is America has always prioritized white comfort.
Okay, so then he had a panel. And I mean, it was amazing to watch because Twitter sort of exploded. They're like, what happened? Like Jon Stewart suddenly going woke like a week after he's like,
I don't think it's suddenly. And I don't think that it's, I don't even necessarily, you know, sometimes things like this just don't lend themselves well to a TV panel. Sometimes I don't have a problem with really anything that he's saying, but it does come off as overly talking down to you as the problem. And I do think that some things are better off as a long medium post than like preachy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, he did the whole like Cory Booker interview, like where he, you know.
Yes, the Cory Booker interview where he talks about how this farming bill to, you know, bring funds into black farmers was blocked by white farmers in Iowa. And Cory Booker was like, well, I'm not saying exactly who did it. I'm saying it was not supported. You know, I think Jon Stewart, he wants to be an ombudsman for everybody. And at this juncture, it is coming off as just, I think, a little too much. You know, we used to have a joke in one of our newsrooms that like, oh, you know, our producers won't let us do this, that, and the other because it's a little too smart. In TV news, you're told to only speak to people with an eighth grade education, no higher than that. So you can presume no level of intelligence beyond an eighth grade education. And I think that this show is graduate school level. I think that everything he says, you should be able to say and have a sincere discussion. I do think that he opens himself up for a sincere discussion, but I don't think that TV wants graduate level.
I don't know.
Media.
I mean, look, here's what the ratings show: a muted start. Social media audience for Stewart's show is smaller than its peers. Colbert, Noah, you know, John Oliver, and Jon Stewart.
But also, we want him to say things that ring true but are funny, and it's not that funny, right? And so we're looking to him to make us cry because of the state of our world, but you can say it in a way that, like, at least we feel better because we can laugh collectively. And that piece is missing. So
yeah, it also comes off, you know, you want to do a whole segment about white comfort from a white guy who has a multi-million dollar contract to do a television show. And, you know, I mean,
well, he's Jewish. So.
So is he not? I mean, I find it, I don't know. I find it. So you do a whole segment, a whole show about how white people are essentially bad because they and we need to apologize for our whiteness. That's what the whole segment is. And you bring
okay,
up
but
a panel
I don't like how you
to...
just said that. Like, you can't say that. I think you should be able to say that and have a debate about that.
Okay, you can, but no one will watch your show. I guess that's what we're seeing
well,
in these ratings.
Okay, I'm agreeing with you, but don't say it like, oh, well, we're going to dump on white people. We can dump on white people. We can have a conversation. We should be able to have a conversation about white privilege.
Okay.
Absolutely, we should. But maybe we don't want it in this format.
Or we can have a discussion about systemic racism and actually have and actually talk about the thing, the pieces of the system that are actually causing the problems. But we don't. And
I think that he does.
No, he doesn't.
I think that
he doesn't. He's talking about woke items, woke agenda items that are not getting to the heart of systemic racism. And that's, I think maybe that's part of the
problem. If you watch the whole segment, he talks about systemic racism. He talks about how it's a different experience for other people than it is, that it's, racism is a different experience based on your skin color.
Okay. Well, anyway, his show's not doing well. And
right. But I don't think it's, it's because he's woke. I think it's because the format is not on brand for him.
Okay, and that's a fair criticism, and it might be right. Like, people tune in to, are people like signing up for Apple TV Plus so they can see Jon Stewart? In another world, I might have. Like, if I knew he was going to do a Daily Show style show where he would make me laugh, he would also like point out some of the hypocrisy of the world. I think that's what drew me to him, right? I think that, like, to calling out the hypocrisy of journalists on both sides. He wasn't afraid, and I think that maybe that's what's missing here.
Yes.
Right?
Maybe, yeah. But you have to applaud someone for trying something off-brand if that's what they want. You know, maybe this is his passion, and not everything's a home run. So I had a show about reviewing baby gear, like Consumer Reports, you know? Wasn't a big hit, but I tried it. So
Did you have more subscribers than Redacted?
No, I did not. It was called Crash Test Mommy, and you can still find it on YouTube. And where I had small babies at the time, and I had just come from CNET, so I was a tech reviewer. So I applied like tech review to like baby strollers and, you know, cribs and things like that, and talked about which ones you wanted and which one, car seats and all of that. But, you know, I mean, sometimes people try things off brand and it just doesn't work in the format. And I don't think there's anything wrong with what he's saying. It just may not work whatever reason.
I did board game reviews.
You did?
On YouTube, yep. I don't know if you can still find them because I think I may have got rid of all of them.
I would pay for that.
Board games.
I think there is reviews. A problem with what he's saying. I mean, it's a talk show, and if what he were saying resonated with people, it would be much more successful. And I think people don't want to tune in to see about how bad white people are. I guess, like, that's the bottom line. You're going
to
watch...
That is completely reductive. There has to be a way to talk about white male privilege.
Okay. Perhaps.
Maybe it's not this
maybe
format,
it doesn't
but
come
I don't
from
think...
a white privileged male. You know, maybe
right,
that's where
but
it doesn't
then
have to
when
come
it
from.
Comes from someone of color, right, then it matters less.
Why?
I think it matters. I think it matters for someone who experiences white privilege to say so. And it matters that everybody should say it.
Okay. So maybe he should just donate all of the money that he has
You're being diminutive. Like, he should not say this. He should say
why?
This.
Okay. Why should he say it?
Because he feels passionate about it.
Okay. And I'm saying that if he feels so passionate about it, then he could take the money that he makes from this show and he could donate it to causes that...
Maybe you don't know that he's not doing that. But at the same time, he feels passionate enough to speak out against something he observes. Let him say it. Why can't he say it?
He can say it. His show just won't be around
for Okay, but we shouldn't diminish it. Some people should just say things they're passionate about. He's doing it in a non-confrontational way, in his own format that people can choose to watch or not, and people are choosing not.
Bagels. I'm passionate about bagels.
You're being...
Stop telling me what I'm being.
I don't appreciate your attitude towards this.
Then
as
you don't
if,
have
like,
to listen to it.
You are being a smug asshole.
I am a smug asshole.
Yes. This we agree
You don't
upon.
Have to listen to it. And you are a pretentious a-hole. You are as equally pretentious. See, if I say anything else, then I'm going to get in trouble.
Sure. I'm not pretending anything. I'm speaking out for his right to say that white privilege is a thing.
Okay.
And you sort of rolling your eyes like, oh, he's saying white privilege, comes off as ignorant. As if you don't believe that it's a thing. It's a thing. It's a thing that should be discussed. And just because in this format it doesn't work, or just because you don't like the tone that he's using or it feels a little pedantic, doesn't mean that it's not a topic that merits conversation.
Okay. I agree.
Okay. So then don't say, he's talking about white people. That's why we all hate him. Like, that's...
We're getting a lot of comments like mom and dad fighting and
it's not the newlywed game.
The newlywed game.
All right, we won't fight in front of you.
I just don't feel like I'm not going to want to sit down and watch a whole show about that.
You don't have to, but you should defend his right to do it.
Okay, he does have a right to do it. He can do it in his start a YouTube
channel.
And
it's not for you to say if he really cared about this, he would blah blah blah. That's a dumb thing to say. Like, you don't know how he's going to express his passions that he cares about, that he wants people to think about.
Okay.
Okay, so don't say that anymore.
Well, you can tell just based on these ratings that a lot of people care about this. A lot of people. A lot of people care about this. But, hey, I know a lot of people care about what we think here on the show. And... I really appreciate it. That's why our ratings are like five times as large as theirs. So, hey, that's good news because we cover stories that are important, I think.
Okay, but I don't... Then we need to make a decision, a discussion about, like, you know, sort of pooping on other people's take or passion projects. When we talk about freedom of speech and then we're like, yeah, but look what Jon Stewart does.
Coming up later, we're going to spend an hour talking about white privilege, and I'm gonna bring on a guest of white people, a group of white people, to tell you about white privilege.
I'll be here.
Well, we don't have to do that right now, but we can do it in another time, sure.
Okay. We can do it tonight after the show. We can invite a bunch of people over to our house and have a white privilege discussion. See how many
people... Stop poking fun. I really don't like it.
Some people run for the door. I know. I'm just poking you.
But you're making yourself seem like you don't actually think it's a thing.
This is a whole other can of worms. And this is
not... It is. So then don't open yourself up to it because you are not a person who thinks that white male privilege is not a thing. So...
Okay. It is a thing. White male, yes, it is a thing. And systemic racism is a thing. And redlining is a thing. But when you turn it into a comedy sketch where you lecture other people about their current state of affairs from a rich white guy on a multi-million dollar
streaming platform. Well, I don't think it's a comedy.
Platform, it doesn't work. And no one wants to be sat there and lectured to by people like that. That's my point. And apparently other people
agree
with me.
Okay, William Julius Wilson, then you tell me how we combat systemic racism. If someone who is actually passionate about change, social change, can't do it on their own platform, then where? Then what is the appropriate way?
Parenting.
The heck out of here.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If we have that discussion, I'll just bring my daughter on, and she will go off for a good 45 minutes because she's 15 and lives in the Pacific Northwest. She will tell you
about it. Oh, I can't. Yes, let me get some nachos for this. Let's have a deeper discussion.
And she will single handedly take down white privilege, capitalism, and I'm sure there's something else in there. It'll just all like come into it nonstop. Yeah.
All
she
right.
She won't even inhale. It's just one breath.
Okay. 45 and minutes. We will not diminish what anybody has to say. If you want it to be about freedom of speech, you have to be about freedom of speech.
Ula Hula says, I know someone that's not getting some action today. Actually, this is when I do get action.
Stop it.
This is when I do piss her off. Okay. We're going to wrap it up if we got some super chats, but I want to tell you about our friends over at Podium before we get out of here. We're going to do some super chats in just a second. If you own a business, you know there aren't enough hours in a day to waste playing phone tag. The list of customers you need to reach doesn't get any shorter, especially when business is good. That's why local businesses everywhere turn to Podium. Podium makes every interaction as easy as sending a text. So everything that makes your business great can get done faster. Podium isn't just a better way to communicate. It's a better way to do everything. Gathering reviews, collecting payments, and even marketing to your customers. Podium makes it all as easy as pressing send. You won't just free up more time. You'll grow your business and get more done. With Podium, you'll close deals with customers before the competition even has a chance to call them back. Join more than 100,000 businesses that already use Podium to streamline their customer interactions. Get started for free at podium.com/invest. Or sign up for a paid Podium account and get a free credit card reader. Restrictions apply. That's podium.com/invest. Our thanks to Podium for supporting our show. Thanks to them.
All right, do we have super chats before we let you out of here, everybody?
We do, but David is also frantically texting me, and I haven't had a chance to update it yet, but he really wants you to talk about Redacted Inc., which is our new community. Oh.
Can we talk about it? I didn't know.
Actually, that pertains to one of the social super chats we got that asked why we don't have a Twitter handle yet. So, yes, you talk about Redacted Inc.
Let's see. Yeah. So, okay. I don't quite know how to frame it. So maybe we will talk more about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we can talk about it tomorrow because he sent like the I didn't have a chance to change the lower third, but what he said was come join our new community where we will not be censored, get exclusive content and much more. So that's what this is supposed to say.
So if you want to come over to our, yeah, we're building a whole new website. And if you come over to redacted.inc. And come and join us right now so you can become a member, join our community. And this is our own private community here, guys. So if, you know, YouTube takes us down or other places take us down, we have a community where we will also be able to stream live from this website, from our community. We'll also have community-based membership options as well. So all sorts of things. Come on over here and subscribe right now to redacted.inc. This is our new locals community, so we'll have exclusive content, we'll have our news feed, and so much more. So redacted.inc. Come on over, guys. Come on over.
All right. And awesome. Then we've got super chats. Yeah, he was like texting me like, this was supposed to, because I was asking, I was like, what was the big thing we're supposed to announce this week? I haven't heard yet. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So we start off with... Lloyd Tackwell, $1.99 super chat. Have you seen Malcolm Nance on Joy Reid?
Yeah. So this is a whole other. I debated doing this on the show today. Malcolm Nance, a MSNBC journalist who decided to pick up arms and leave MSNBC and go and fight in Ukraine. There's a whole lot to unpack there. I haven't heard that.
And he's posted photos of himself saying,
like, I'm in the front
lines.
I'm done talking. I'm on the front lines. I'm here, and it's like 2 a.m. when he's put. Anyway, it's we'll start to unpack this a little bit more. But I have to say, if you're one of these journalists that's like you're outraged about what's happening in Ukraine and you really want to be there and you support Zelensky, and then go pick up arms, do what he did, and go and fight. You know.
Then Grimm had his $5 super chat, and it was the total quote is CNN Plus is awesome for torturing prisoners and enemies of the state, like waterboarding.
Exactly.
We had Action Jackson, or Jackslin. Jackson. No, it is Jackson. Sorry. $5 super chat. How come there are no redacted Twitter page? Love you guys.
Well, we do. It is. Let me see if I can find it. It's new, and again, it's new. It's just a matter of getting it set up properly. So. Forgive me. I'll pull up our Twitter page here in a second.
And then the last super chat is from King Buddha, $5 super chat. Clayton has to fight that Fox News residue still in his head. I'm kidding.
Yes, I liked that. That was when we were talking, when you said white privilege in that way.
And then we do get a lot of questions. We've had a lot of them today, and it comes up a lot. People want to know, what is our plan with pet photos? Do we have a pet photo plan?
Yes.
I think we're going to be – well, that's why you definitely want to do subscribe to our redacted.inc and become a member over there, because we're going to – like, I think we'll do our membership-only pet photos there, which was, of course, a big part of our morning invest on Fridays. We used to do that, so – I think we will do that over on the redacted private page. So redacted.inc will be the place to go. I should mention that here is our Twitter account as well. It's the redacted.inc. So you can follow us on Twitter as well. The redacted.inc. This is the official page. Don't follow any imposters. It's the redacted.inc on Twitter. You can follow us there as well.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We will be back tomorrow at the same time. Remember the newsletter, morninginvest.com. And we'll see tomorrow if we are divorced.
That's right. Now it's time to go get some action. talk. Right, I'm going to go talk about. I'm going to go show her my white privilege.
I shouldn't laugh at that. I don't know if I think that's funny.
You did. You laughed. You can't pull that back now. If you laugh,
I redact that laugh
because that's you go the whole like I laughed initially and now I'm offended. Slap.
Yeah, you're gonna Jada. Yes, are you gonna Jada right. Pinkett Smith me?
That's right. You can
are
do
you
that.
Gonna Will Smith me?
Yeah. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.